sake of something else? What am I willing to give up for the sake of the furtherance of the gospel? Or let's talk to it on a relational sense. As a father or a mother or a husband or a wife, what am I willing to give up from me for my spouse? I want you to see that when God has done something for you, when He has done something for you in such a tangible way, something inside of you wants to make room for Him. Something inside of you turns hospitable, and you want to host the presence of God, and you want to thank the one who brought you out, and you want to rejoice in the one that that delivered you from sin and healed your body and put you in your right mind. When God has done something for you, you'll throw a dinner party, if you will, for the one who did it for you.
He walks into the missional court, the court of the Gentiles, where all nations should have access to God. He marches into that court, but the religious and church leaders are making it difficult for all nations to experience God, unlike we saw today. When all nations were represented by those who were being baptized in water. But it's interesting to me that right here in this passage, it's another business as usual day in the temple until Jesus shows up. I don't know about you, but I just love it when Jesus shows up. Isn't it amazing when Jesus decides to visit us and show up? And should not the church be the place where we are expecting Jesus to show up in our midst? We're sitting on the edges of our chairs, our pews, waiting for those supernatural surprise me moments when Jesus Himself arrives in the midst of His people.
We are so glad to have you all join us for this Refuel Conference. We appreciate all the work you do for the Kingdom of God, and we want to offer this weekend as a time of encouragement and refreshing.
You know, the Bible says in Acts that the times of refreshment come from the presence of the Lord. And we know that as we gather together, that He will be in our midst, and He will manifest Himself, and He will refresh each and every one of you. He will refuel you, and that is the point of this conference. We want you to leave this place ready to go and minister in the kingdom of heaven. We understand that in this season, sometimes we can get burnt out, we can get tired. And so we have set aside this time so that we can come and be refueled, so that we can go and do what God has called us to do.
So what are you waiting for? Get in and get all God has for you. Good evening, everyone. We're so glad that you guys came out to join us for our annual Refuel Conference. Stand with us and let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah.
Wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. And I tried with all my might. I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, the vagabond. Just when I ran out of rope, I met a man I didn't know. And he told me that I was not alone. Oh, he picked me up, he turned me around, he placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart. He changed my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God.
I cannot deny what I see. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friend. The burden of bitterness, you can just keep moving. Now you ain't welcome here. From now till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son has found his way back home. Oh, he picked me up, he turned me around, he placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. Another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. He turned me around, he placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior. What he did for another,
hey.
He can do it again.
Okay.
That means what he did for another,
hey.
He can do it again.
Okay.
That means what he did for another,
hey.
He can do it again.
Okay.
That means what he did for another,
hey.
He can do it again.
Okay.
That means what he did for another,
hey.
He can do it again.
Okay.
That means what he did for another,
hey.
He can do it again.
Oh, okay.
That means what he did for another,
hey.
He can do it again.
Okay.
That means what he did for another.
Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
because he healed my heart. He changed my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior.
Yeah.
So much to thank him for. And God's not done. There's going to be so much more to thank him for because he's a good, good God. So we just want to welcome you all. We're so glad you are here today. We're so glad that you took time to come and worship the Lord with us. And we just believe that he is going to manifest in a way that will refresh and encourage and just build you up. Because sometimes this world will tear you down and it weighs on you. But God is a God who is faithful. God is a God who knows your need and every care, and he can meet you right where you are. So I encourage you, do not hold back. Give him everything tonight because he will be there for you. And so just a couple things we want to make you aware of. The bathrooms are straight through the back door. So if you need to use the facilities, please do. And this weekend, because we wanted to give our volunteers, our adult volunteers, a break, our Lighthouse Teen Ministries is hosting. So they will be, if you have any questions, you ask a teenager. And we encourage you to come back tomorrow because the teenagers will be serving you. And how often do you get a teenager to serve you? So make sure you're here tomorrow. And I'm very excited about the work they're doing for the Lord. Let's give them one more hand.
Praise God, church. How many excited to be here? Yeah. How many excited about what God's doing in this house? Not what he is going to do, what he's doing right now. And I just feel the presence of God here so greatly. We were here praying last night, just preparing for this weekend. We know that God's presence is here, and we're just believing God to show up in a tangible way. You know, his presence is always with us because he's everywhere, right? And every once in a while, we get the quickening where we feel him. But then there's just sovereign moments where his glory rolls in a place. When the people of God come and gather together. And that's been our heart because we know that when we step into one of those moments, that is when we will experience the refreshing of the Lord. And that's what we're here for, to be refueled. Several years ago, me and Pastor Alicia started noticing that as soon as we roll into the fall season in our church, because we had hit the ground running in January, right? And we were trying to get everything done that God wanted us to do. And we're just pouring out. And by the time we would move into the fall season, it seemed like people were getting tired. People were just drained, right? And we said, we need to start doing something to help them. When they hit this point, we need to do something to refresh them. And so we started doing this refuel conference, and this is what we're here for tonight. If you have come and you feel like you're spent, this is for you. If you have come and you're thirsty, you're so thirsty, the living water is flowing tonight. If you have come and you are weary and heavy laden with burdens, your Savior's here to take those burdens and give you his yoke, which is easy and which is light. Amen? And so the scripture, the theme scripture this year that just God has placed upon our heart is found in Acts chapter 3. And I'm going to start in verse 19. And it may sound funny to you because whenever we hear this, we think that we need to repent of sins. But the Bible says this, repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. Now listen to the next verse, verse 20. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now, get this. Sometimes the thing that we need to repent from, the thing that we need to turn from, that's a sin in our life, isn't a moral sin, but it's that we have focused on the wrong thing. We're doing what we're doing for the wrong reason. We're working out of obligation instead of out of from our heart giving service unto God, which is worship. We've gone into the mundane things of life, and we've begun to treat the spiritual things, the things of God, as common. So hear this. This weekend, repent from that. Turn away from that. Move into the presence of God, because it's there where you will find the refreshing for your soul. Amen? How many of you are ready for that? How many are ready for that? How many are ready that after this weekend, you're ready to run again? You're ready to hammer that throttle and get after it again, right? Because the presence of God is going to be here. Now, we're going to do something as we move into our worship that's very important. It's vitally important. It's important for you to see it as a sign of praise. And we're going to take an offering for this conference. And you get an opportunity to give into something that's going to give back to you even more so than what you're going to give. Now, I'm not a guy that puts money and dollar signs out there all the time. You guys know me, Lighthouse. But I am going to challenge you to give tonight. And we're only taking two offerings, one tonight and one tomorrow. That's it. And God is going to provide. So what I want you to do as we pray is ask God, what is the gift that I need to give? This is not your tithe. This is your offering. And when you give an offering, the Bible promises that it will be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Where men, not God, men will give back to you from into your bosom, right? That's what the Word of God said. So you're going to receive a blessing from this. So that's why you need to know what God's speaking to you. You understand? You need to hear the voice of the Lord so that you can appropriate your blessing correctly, all right? We're going to pray over this, and as they sing the next song, we're going to just move into worship. And listen, we're just going to flow in this service. Because the glory, I feel it falling already. And so we're not going to have any more interruptions after this. If you have a hard time finding the restroom, ask somebody. We're not going to announce it again, okay? Are you awake? Smile at me. It's okay. We're not going to have any more interruptions, all right? We're going to move in to the worship and praise of God. And we're going to move right into the Word of God. And then we're going to move into the response of God, all right? Unto that word. So let's pray. I know God's already been speaking to people. I see some of you have your phones out to give. You can give on our app. You can give through Venmo. You can give here by cash or check. If you're writing checks, write them out to Lighthouse PCG. And God is going to move in this place. How many believe that? How many already feel His presence stirring in this place, right? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank You, Lord, for this opportunity that You're giving us right now to sow into something that we will reap even a greater harvest from, Lord. Now, God, we pray a blessing over this conference right now, from tonight into tomorrow and even Sunday morning, Lord. May Your glory be here in a tangible way. Show Your glory to us, God, we pray. Show us Your glory. Let us see You. Let us be in Your presence face to face with You. And God, I know that when we are there, we will find refreshing, we will be renewed, and we will be refilled with Your power, with Your Spirit, with Your anointing to go forth and accomplish what You have sent us to do in Your kingdom and in this world. We pray a blessing upon this offering, Lord. We pray a blessing upon the men of God that are ministering this week. We know we're sowing into good soil, Lord, that will produce a harvest. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come, let's worship the Lord. Oh, hey, oh.
Say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, conjure the four winds of breath and breathe.
So we all in this room, we have a choice this week over these next couple days. You have a choice to come to this place. And listen, if you have a home church, then we want you to return to that home church. But you can come here empty, but you can still leave empty if that's what you choose. But you can come to this place as empty as a 5-gallon bucket with no water at the bottom of a dry well, and you can leave this place filled again. I believe this week, these next few days, God is going to speak not just to this church as a whole, but He's speaking to the body of Christ. I believe that God is speaking to us. He's saying, you don't have to walk around with me empty. You see, God doesn't come into our lives to let us live an empty life. When He comes, we are filled. So I'm believing, if you believe this with me, that let's make a choice over these next couple days to let Jesus fill us up till we are pouring over, to where when we walk out of this place, we are pouring over so much that our water is touching people and people are getting blessed and moved by the Holy Spirit.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. All sufficient sacrifice, so freely given, such a price on our redemption.
Break every chain, break every chain. break every chain, to break every chain. I saw my chains as they fell to the ground. I saw my chains, I am no longer bound. I left these chains when my Jesus I found. He breaks every chain, he breaks every chain, he breaks every chain. He breaks every chain, he breaks every chain, he breaks every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. I hear those chains falling. I hear those chains falling.
is the Lamb. Holy is the Lamb. Holy is the Lamb that was slain. And I love the Lamb. Yes, I love the Lamb. Yes, I love the Lamb that was slain. Yes, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord with honor. All across this sanctuary, lift your voice, lift your hands and honor Him. We honor Him. We honor Him. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. We honor You, Jesus. You're good to us, Lord. He's good to us. He's good to us. Somebody give Him a praise. Give Him a clap offering of thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just before you're seated tonight, I want you to look at your neighbor tonight and tell him it is my night to be filled. Say it out loud. Say it loudly. Say it like a Pentecostal preacher. Say it's my night to be filled. Glory to God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to thank your amazing praise team and thank you for leading us into worship tonight. We're very thankful for the goodness of the Lord and good to be in the house of God on a beautiful fall night. Hallelujah. Amen. When I drove in this evening, I saw the cornfields all around me. Looked like they have already been harvested. And everyone's getting ready for a great winter. I rebuke every flake of snow and want to hold on to every ounce of fall that I can. How many will say amen? I've been traveling a lot in cities. I was in Arizona this past week, and of course they don't get the weather we get here in the Northeast. And I would like to brag and say that it's good to live in a place where there are four seasons. But we are headed into this fall season that will lead into a winter season. And I know that you are already preparing for 2024. And my assignment tonight, several weeks ago, when I began to pray about this meeting, asking God to show me and speak to me a word for this house and for those that would be here. And I have a word from the Lord on tonight. Give honor tonight to the angels of this house, Pastors Joe and Alicia Turner, who are tremendous friends in the ministry, and God is using them in a great way here. I would you give honor to them tonight. We give honor to our pastors, who we love dearly. Praise the Lord. Care for them deeply, and would give honor tonight also to Bishop, who's here this evening. Good to see Brother Shelton. God bless you, a longtime friend as well. I'm older than him because I remember him running around at camp. And I remember attempting to be a chaperone. And what that was is I didn't want to go home from teen camp. So I stuck around and acted like I was really doing something. And I see a few witnesses here tonight that had to deal with me. Ain't that right, Brother Diltz? Amen. God bless. I tell you what, it's good to be in the house of God on tonight. If you have your Bibles this evening, I'm going to be jumping through several passages of Scripture. I pray that you're a journal keeper, a note taker. I pray that you have already written this night down, and you are either doing it on a pad of paper, your journal, or your phone, and you're not scrolling Instagram while we're preaching. I want to deliver a word from my soul tonight, and I really believe it be for this house. And I want to speak on the thought of to be or not to be. I've never preached this message. It is only that God told me to preach it here. We've heard of the phrase to be or not to be. I've heard it in theatrical productions. I've heard it in the writings of poetry and fiction. I've heard that phrase used probably a lot in my time, and maybe you have as well. It's the question that we ask from the womb, to be or not to be. Say it with an old English accent to your neighbor, to be or not to be. Have you ever noticed that when you're in a foreign country, you talk really loud when you're trying to communicate? All that I've been in South America, Central America, India, China, different places that I've been, I always try to adapt my vernacular and my accent to the region that I'm at, and it always comes out like I'm from Australia. Really loud. So say it again, to be or not to be? The question that we ask tonight. Father, I pray as we've gathered in this house and we have worshiped you, for the most part, our attention has been upon you. And tonight I'm asking for an emptying, for there to be a filling. God, that you would do a work in me so you can do a work through me. For my assignment tonight is to be your voice, to speak that which you would speak to me. And I ask, Lord, for your anointing upon your servant. Your word's already anointed, but anoint me and anoint our ears that we may hear. And the church would say, amen. And when you would ask the question to be or not to be, the question that is age old from the womb, question that is shows up sometimes in Scripture when it begins to deal with destiny, begins to deal with the plans that the Lord has for us, according to Jeremiah 29. God has a specific assignment on your life, and it is more than just sitting in that 20 to 21 inch chair you're sitting in. It is to be about the Father's business, to fulfill your kingdom assignment. And I believe that God has called us from the cradle to the grave to fulfill our purpose. If you're still breathing, you're not done. It doesn't matter how many failures or how many faults or how many trips, how many times you've stubbed your toe. If God has kept you this far, he's got a purpose for you. Amen? And I believe that God wants you to fulfill that purpose. And so we see repeatedly throughout the Scripture that the thought of to be or to not to be keeps showing up in some form or another as it is relating to the prophets, the judges, the kings, the New Testament disciples, those that would go on to turn the world upside down, to fulfill the assignment to be. God at times laid exactly out what his desire was and is for our lives. God did not mince words about it. He instructed us to be something. I draw your attention tonight to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, where the Bible said, be fruitful. God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. We have several large families in our church who have taken this word, be fruitful, and multiply very seriously. You know it's serious when you have to buy a transit van to transport your children because you've been so fruitful. Or perhaps because God has enlarged you with bonus children and you have taken on the children that needed a father or a mother. Say, be fruitful. And then in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, the word of God would say to be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Again, God's saying, be something. Be fruitful. Be faithful. And in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, we're instructed to be firm, where Paul would say to the church in Corinth, be steadfast, unmovable on a football night. That's for those of you that are watching online and sitting in the stadium. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, there comes a time you have to have enough tenacity, enough stick-to-itiveness to be firm, to not quit, to not throw in the towel, to not go to hell for nobody. You got to be firm in your convictions as we head into a political season, not promoting the Democrats or the Republicans, but the Lamb, the Lion, the King of Kings. Be firm. And then we would see in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, God would speak to a new leader on the rise and say, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Be strong and of good courage. And then he would tell us in 1 Peter 1 and 16, where God's word instructs us, be ye holy, for I am holy. Again, God is saying, be something. You don't do holy, you be holy. Of course, I was raised in classic Pentecost, where anything that was fun was a sin. And the ladies would wear jean skirts while roller skating. Can you imagine what that would have looked like had there been a crash? Don't shout me down. I can preach about what I come from. But I want you to understand, you don't do holy, you be holy. Oh, come on, somebody. And then in Matthew chapter 5, where the words of the Lord would say, be the light of the world, for a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You are the light, so be the light. In Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10, where God said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. There are times in my life and yours that you must learn how to be still. In a world where everything is go, 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 you've got to plant yourself long enough to hear the word of the Lord speak rivers to your soul. Be still and know. I sometimes, in pastoring the last nearly 25 years, have saw people come and go and buzz around me like a busy bee, never able to get a handle on what God wants for them, because they're always in a hurry and a scurry, always in the hustle and the bustle of the gridlock of life. Don't know where they're coming. Don't know whether they're going. There are times you have to hear the Lord say, be still and know that I'm God. When they diagnose you with cancer, you have to be still and know that He is God. When you're overwhelmed within your soul, you have to be still and know that He is God. And of all the scriptures that I've shared in part with you tonight, of the bees, to be this, and to be that we've just read, There's absolutely another critical verse that if received and applied, it will cause you to do all the B's we just listed. And that verse, are you ready? Is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. A very controversial verse for those looking for loopholes. And the Bible said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Come on, somebody. Hello, Lighthouse. But be filled with the Spirit. Because if I'm drunk with wine where it is in excess, it will ruin my life. I can't tell you the number of, I'm not here to debate any of that. I'm not here to get into a fight with anybody, although I would win. I have counseled so many people who have lost everything in their life because they live their life in excess. And it wasn't just the drink either. I'll let your pastor deal with you. But the Bible teaches us to be filled with the Spirit rather than to be drunk with wine wherein is excess. Woo, I feel like I'm fighting something here. He said, instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible doesn't teach us that God wants to caress us or that God is wanting just to have us a moment of motivation in a conference or a tickle in our spine or a quiver in our liver when we hear the gospel or our favorite song comes on. No, the Bible doesn't say that he just wants to touch me. The Bible doesn't say he just wants to caress me. The Bible said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's not just wanting me to have a moment, as they say, some members in our church say, I catch the Holy Ghost. No, God wants to fill you, not for you just to have a momentary experience where you came for a quick fix and you sensed the Spirit of God to your left and to your right and they sung the note just right and somebody amen at the right appropriate time and you felt something begin to turn inside of you. No, God doesn't want you just to have a touch or a caress, but God wants you to be filled with the Spirit. Even in the Genesis of creation, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth in Genesis chapter 1. And the Bible said that the earth was formed with an empty and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was moving on the surface of the waters. The Bible teaches us that in the moving, there was a hovering, that he hovered upon the face of the waters, that he moved upon the face of the waters. But notice, if you will, that he did not fill the waters. He merely moved on the waters. And I would say to all of us here tonight, and I want you to write this down, is that there is a difference between feeling God and being filled with God. Come on, somebody. There is a difference between feeling God and being filled with God. As Genesis demonstrates, God can move over, but not necessarily fill in. He can move on something without filling something. Oh, come on. He can visit something, but not inhabit something. To inhabit means that you create a seat where he sits. And so when God said that he inhabits the praises of his people, he's saying anytime that you offer him a seat, he'll come and sit in that place. Huh. When you leave this service tonight, don't say, well, the preaching wasn't on, or they didn't have me in the right seat, or it went a little long for me. No, ask before you ever walk out of this door
Did I, through my worship, create a seat for him to sit in? Because anytime you offer God a seat, he'll come and he'll dwell. He'll inhabit. He'll sit down in the presence of his people. And so he can visit something, but not inhabit it. He can move on something, but not fill it. But I just want to praise God for a little bit that Jesus paid the price so that I could go from visitation to habitation. That I could move from him moving over me into moving in me. Do I got any witnesses in here tonight that he shed his blood for his spirit, not just to move over me, but his spirit to move within me? And I want you to consider what I'm saying, even as we talk through the lens of the holidays. And we don't even acknowledge Halloween, but I would say Christmas, God is with us. Easter, God is for us. Pentecost, God is in us. Ooh, I lost you at Halloween. Come on, somebody. What does that mean? That God doesn't just want to caress you, that God wants to change you. That God just doesn't want to touch your circumstance, but God wants to transform your life. That God doesn't just want to visit you, that he wants to live inside of you. And the only way that there's a transformation is when there's a filling. Everybody say, be filled. Say to your neighbor, be filled. I want to illustrate something, and I didn't bring it, so I put it on the screen because I didn't have the necessary tools. But I want you to look at your life the day you were born. On the day that you were born, this is you. You look good. Everybody say, I look good. You may have had hair or had no hair. You grew into it. Can I hear an amen? You didn't have any wrinkles. You might have had some fat on you, but you'd look good. And as you grew, you look good. The day that you were born, by the second day, you look good. On the first day, we didn't know what you were. I remember when our grandson, who's 4 now, came out of the womb. I didn't see it, but I was there in the room on the other side of the curtain praying in the Holy Ghost. My daughter said, Daddy, you can stay with us in the room while my wife and my son-in-law have the important duties there at the head of her bed. And I was just thankful to be included. But as he came out and they laid him on that table, I thought, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I didn't know what he was at first. Now I know all of you who have beautiful children would never say such, or your grandchildren. And there are some children that you see even when they're 2 that you don't even tell the neighbor or the family member that they look cute. You just say, well, look at that. On the day that you were born, the moment you were born, 1 second after you were born, things begin to change in your life. The older you got and the more no's that you heard and you understood the right from the wrong and you understood those things, the falling nature of man, the outcome of what took place in the Garden of Eden, that this now moves to the next screen, what your life ended up looking like. Now we're talking about real life, in the real and the raw, where you're no longer a baby chewing on your binky anymore. You are now an adult or a teenager or a senior saint who have experienced the ups and the downs and the rigors of life. The fallen nature of man, you've understood what sin is. Nobody had to tell you what sin was. The Holy Ghost began to teach you, even if you knew not the Spirit of the Lord. There was such a thing as a conscience and a conviction. And then we come to find out that all of us have our appetites. Don't look at anybody. But all of us have a sinful appetite. And we have learned how to adjust to social constructs and worldviews and false ideologies. And the day we're living in right now, where many during the COVID season walked away and began to deconstruct their faith, to the point now that they have deconstructed the church and told us what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. It's funny to me how people who've never pastored anything have an opinion about what the church and the pastor should be doing. Preach in there, Pastor. Worldviews. And now we understand clearer what generational curses are. That your grandfather didn't overcome it. And that your daddy didn't overcome it. And now we deal with alcoholism and addiction and immorality and fear and suicidal thoughts and anxiety and tendencies that draw us away from the Word of God. Can I hear an amen? All of this has left us perpetually broken, full of stress and anxiety, where now our children are on pills to help them with stress and anxiety. Don't shout me down and don't send me no email. I want you to understand this is the world we're in right now. Where our little children, they don't climb trees and stay outside and ride their bikes till the street lights come on anymore. They're now looking for the favor and the approval of people on the gram and on TikTok on whether or not they're accepted by how many likes they have. And they're living trying to fulfill perfection because they're told they have to be this and they have to be that. Oh, my, 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 my. And when you take all that fear and all that anxiety and all this world has to offer and you combine it together, then all of a sudden that's what we end up looking like, clouded and burnt over and heavy laden. Come on, somebody. And this could be you. This could be your family. This could be your home. This could be your marriage. This could be your surrounding. And to a great degree, this is the way America looks right now in the season that we are in. So how do you answer this? And what is the answer? What is the solution to the dilemma? And how do we solve this issue? Well, if I was only in religion, religion would say you got to get rid of it. Religion would say get out of it, get rid of it. Go in there and somehow just try to talk yourself out of it. Go in there and soothe your mind and hum to your numb and stare into a crystal ball with Shirley MacLaine and see if you can just levitate it right out of there and do a little thing called yoga or Christian yoga. Folks, there is no such thing as Christian yoga. Oh, nobody want to help me right here. I'm going to get thrown out of here. But I just want you to understand that we take all of this self-talk and try to manipulate our emotions and talk ourselves into something. And this is what religion would tell you to do. Just go to a church that'll make you feel good about yourself. Go to a place that preaches greasy grace. Go to a place that preaches sloppy agape. Go to a place where you can sin Monday through Friday and then come to church on Sunday and perform your ministry gift. I know I'm at a refuel conference, but I just want you to understand that the antidote is not to talk yourself into something. The antidote is not to get another word from some Facebook prophet down at Perkins House of Pancakes and Prophecy. That's not the place where you need to get a word from the Lord. The antidote, oh, I'm going to show you how to solve this and rid yourself of every generational curse and every lie that the enemy has ever told you, that there is a way that you can do it. You can, oh, listen, friend, you might say, well, I tried therapy. I'm not against therapy. The person next to you needs a whole lot of it. Come on, somebody. You can go to an institution, that might be all right, but you can go through every single means and every mechanism that society and secular culture affirms and validates, but ultimately that will not do it. But there is a way to get rid of this stuff that is inside of us. Every trace of darkness, every dark thought, every dark inclination, every dark habit that not only in you, but if you you get this right, it'll be for your children and your children's children and your children's 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 children. Oh, hallelujah. God wants you to live in victory, and God wants you to walk in perfect peace. But how do you get it, brother pastor? How do you get it? Well, you don't whine about it, and you don't complain about it, and you don't post on Instagram and Facebook with a frown trying to get people to ask you about it. Oh, no, you don't do that. I'm going to tell you how you get rid of it. And the answer is, you let the Holy Spirit fill you up. And when He fills you, it changes everything that is inside of you. You can't make yourself holy. You tried and failed. You can't make yourself right. You tried and failed. You tried religion, and even that didn't work. But when the Spirit of God gets inside of you, every bit of darkness has to come out in Jesus' name. I'm prophesying to someone right now, the next thing to fill your mind, the next thing to fill your family, the next thing to fill your generation, the next thing to fill Ohio, OH, there's more of the Holy Spirit to fill you. And the next thing to fill America is not the Republicans and not the Democrats. It won't be a political movement, but it will be the glory of Almighty God. For He is sending revival, and we are in revival right now. Say yes. You will never be satisfied until the Holy Spirit fills you up. You won't be happy until every bit of darkness is gone. Somebody praise Him like you know that He brought you out of darkness into His marvelous light. As for me and my house, we will be filled. As for me and my house, we will be filled. Shout yes, yes. Praise like you've been filled. Worship like you've been filled. Are there any filled people in this house? Come on and thank Him. Hallelujah. So when those dark times come, and they will come, and those dark clouds come, and they will come, instead of whining about it, what do you do about it? You be filled. Say, be filled. Be filled, Lucille. Somebody said, well, I'm not going to go to church. I messed up. I can't be around other Christians. I messed up. Everybody in that place knows my business. I want to say very politely and very respectfully, get over yourself. When you mess up, be filled. When you mess up, be filled with the Spirit. Somebody say, be filled. God wants to fill us until there is no room for anything else except His Spirit in us. And if there's any empty space, the enemy will fill it. But as long as there's no room, then there is nothing for the enemy to occupy. Hey, I'm prophesying to someone, get ready for overflow. Get ready for overflow. Get ready for overflow. I feel an overflow coming your way. My cup runneth over. Be filled. Be filled. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14, for as the waters fill the sea, the earth will be filled with the awareness of the glory of the Lord. Again, I say, be filled. Are there any questions? That's you. That's me. That's what's coming to you. That's what's coming to your family. That's what's coming to your children and to your children's children. To be filled, to be filled, to be filled with the breath of God, to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. I remember when Beverly and I moved from Indiana back in 1993 and moved back to Ohio in Northeast Ohio. We moved because we thought that we wanted to live close to mom and dad, God had called us to Indiana, and yet we were weary in well-doing. And we started looking around us and saying, wouldn't it be nice to move close to home? We could run up to mom and dad's and eat cornbread anytime we wanted to. Eat soup beans anytime we wanted to. Eat fried potatoes anytime. Can I preach to some hillbillies tonight? That's my people. And I thought, well, we just talked ourselves right into leaving Indiana and going to Ohio for a short season in our life. And oh, I was so miserable. I knew that I had missed God. But then I tried to talk myself into what was being told at that time, the permissive will of God. And I would try to talk myself into saying, well, God's just allowing me to make this decision. And there would come a time in my life later that God would correct me and say, you're either in my will or you're not in my will. Just admit it. Oh, so I switched my language from saying, you know, God, he'll just let me try this and he'll let me feel something here. He'll just let me do this and let me do that. And I remember being so miserable because I felt like I had stepped out of the will of God. Am I preaching to somebody tonight? And I remember that one night we went to a revival service and we were attending this church of God, and there we were just trying to be a blessing, and I was miserable. And there's nothing worse than having a miserable pastor, a miserable preacher sitting in the church waiting for their turn to preach. My God. And nothing worse than somebody sitting around fault finding everybody else that's trying to do something for God. And here I was out of the will of God. He might as well have been Jonah. Might as well have been that old cussing preacher Peter. Come on, somebody. I was in a horrible place. And every time the pastor would walk by, he'd want me to help play the piano. And he'd do like this. And that used to get on my ever-loving last nerve. I thought, this guy's getting on my nerve. And my wife would elbow me and say, get yourself together. What are you acting like? Thank God for a sanctified woman who would not let me give up. And that pastor, I'd get up on the keyboard and I'd be upset because all he wanted to do was play an E-flat. And I didn't like E flat. I wanted G or C because you know that's true Pentecostal chords. One night they had a revival and I didn't want to go. And I went anyway. Sat there, looked like I'd been weaned on a dill pickle. Upset with everybody. The preacher that was in that night, I had never heard of him, but that night he came and found out that the whole time he was preaching that he was dealing with shingles, and here he was up preaching and delivering a word, and he called me out, and I thought, oh God, here we go. I didn't want to be called out. I tried to hide behind people. I may be in the back row, and they'd say, you brother there in the back, I'd be like everybody else. And it was me, and I reluctantly walked up to the front, and he began to prophesy into my life, began to speak over me. Something began to happen on the inside of me. I had been in a state of depression where I had found myself in the basement of the duplex that we lived in, and I'd hid myself under the desk and pulled the chair in, and I would go there every night and I would have a pity party and say, why me? Why me? I missed you, God. I don't know what I'm going to do to recover. Oh, but I'm so thankful that God's arm is not short, that he cannot reach you and pull you out of the pit that you're in. And that night, Porter Richard, the man's name, I believe, began to prophesy over me and spoke the word of God into my life. And that night, God did amazing thing in my life. I knelt down in that altar and began to weep, and God showed me a vision, and he showed us our little daughter who was only about 1 year old. He showed me when she was about 10 years old, and she had long brown hair, and she was in an altar praying and seeking the Lord, and the Holy Ghost moved upon her, and she was baptized. baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. God showed me that in a dream. Years would go by and God would take us back to Indiana and we begin to labor in the field of God where he called us as youth directors and on into pastoring. And I remember one night we had taken all of our young people to youth camp and we were there in that youth camp and Milton Ostrander was preaching in that meeting and all we gathered there that night and the Holy Ghost began to move and it wasn't driven by music and it wasn't driven by personality, but when the Holy Ghost began to move there was a power that swept into the building and every young person began to respond to God. And while my hands were raised and I was praising the Lord, God said, open your eyes. And I looked over and I saw my daughter at the age of 10 with long brown hair and she had her hands raised as she was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit God filled her on that night. And God told me, didn't I tell you this would come to pass? I come to tell you that I'm prophesying to you and your children's children, they will be filled with the Holy Ghost. They will be filled with the fire of God and they will be filled with the breath of God. God will fill. Now the Bible says in John chapter 20 and verse 22, I ran off and forgot my handkerchief. And it says in chapter 20 and verse 22, and when he had said this, thank you, Pastor. I don't care if it's used. It's anointed. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. He breathed on them. And he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I want you to understand, we always inhale before we exhale. We inhale before we exhale. When we get the slap on our bottom at the hospital, there might be a moment where we wonder if there's going to be any breath at all. We're waiting to hear something. We inhale before we exhale. We receive an apostle before we invest. Instructions precede construction. We breathe in before we breathe out. It always begins with the breath of God. In Genesis chapter 2 and 7, the Hebrew word for the breath of God is ruach. The Greek word for the breath of God is pneuma. Job talked about it in Job chapter 33. But I need you to hear me tonight. Jesus just said, and here it is, be filled by Spirit, let me breathe on you. Here's my breath. There are many spirits that are in the world today. The spirit of divination, the spirit of jealousy. Oh, I see that in the church. The spirit of lying and deception. Turn on the news. They don't even try to cover their lies anymore. The spirit of perversion. And they're coming after our children. Let me catch a man come into the women's restroom that my granddaughter is in. Let me catch it. Nobody won't help me here now. Who you afraid of? I was in the airport the other day. A grown man dressed like a woman came into the men's restroom and stood at the urinal. I said, my God. The spirit of perversion. Well, it's quiet in here, and I'm coming for you. The spirit of perversion. I don't care if they try to silence me. Christianity will not always be comfortable. That's why we must go to school board meetings. We must say, stop corrupting my child. We must say, get your hands off of my children. My God. Somebody shout, be filled. There is the spirit of perversion. There is the spirit of heaviness. There is the spirit of fear. There is the spirit of death. There is a spirit of Jezebel, control. There is a spirit of Antichrist. But I want this church to know in this Refuel Conference that the most powerful spirit on the planet is not Jezebel. It's not discord. It's not the Antichrist. It is not anti-love, and it is not anti-truth. But the most powerful spirit on the planet is still the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. I need somebody to shout like you have that spirit. I want somebody to praise like you have that spirit. Somebody worship him like you have that spirit. Somebody pray like you have that spirit. Somebody preach like you have that spirit. Somebody sing like you have that spirit. Somebody ought to praise him and identify, I have yet the spirit of God in me. I want all the Holy Spirit people to raise their hands and give God a glorious praise. If he's brought you out of anything, praise him in this house. Come on and give him honor. Hey! Glory! Give God praise. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm filled with the Spirit. Before I take my seat tonight, if you want to live out the purpose of God, you need the Holy Spirit. If you want to receive the promises of God, you need the Holy Spirit. If you want to experience the provision of God, you need the Holy Spirit. If you want to build the firewall against your past, then you need the Holy Spirit. If you want to guarantee your future, and I'm not being theological here, you need the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, do you need the Holy Ghost to make it to heaven? I need the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. You've heard that said. Oh, hallelujah. When you receive the breath of Jesus, when he breathes upon you, when glory comes out of his mouth, and the breath of God comes to you, you will always inhale before you exhale. Hallelujah. You will breathe in. And when the Holy Spirit of God begins to breathe in you, when his exhale becomes your inhale. Hey, when his exhale becomes your inhale, he does not temporarily occupy space in you, but he permanently fills your life and subdues all that you are. I hear my Bible say in 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells inside of you? You are not just a human being, you are a spiritual being. You do not just occupy space. Listen, you house the divinity of God. The breath of God, his exhale, became your inhale. And when the Spirit of God moved in you, you became full of his Spirit and his presence. And you now identify and house the identity of God and the divinity of God. And the most important thing about you is not whether you're black or white or Asian or Latino. It's not that you like the Lakers or the Pacers, the Dodgers or the Angels, or that you like Starbucks or this thing called Tim Hortons that wants to be coffee in this house. Come on, somebody. You don't have to amen me. It's not about any of that at all. But the most powerful thing about you to, guess what it is? It is that I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. I am the temple of the living God. That is why your destiny is not based on what is in front of you, but your destiny is based on who is inside of you. Where I live and who lives in me determines where I'm headed. Oh, it's not based on what I do or how many likes I get on the gram. It's based on who is living in my house. The Holy Spirit is live. I want all the house people. I want the Holy Spirit people. Raise your hands and say, yeah. Yeah. There's greatness inside of you. And I'm not just prophesying to engage your prophetic exaggeration. I am speaking to you tonight by biblical truth. I have prayed. I have fasted. I have come before God for a word for this house. I know the Spirit of the Lord. And when I say there is greatness inside of you, I'm telling you that the royalty of heaven lives inside of you. There is creativity. There is genius inside of you. There is ingenuity inside of you. There is innovation inside of you. I prophesy to someone in this house. You've been thinking about starting a business. God told me to tell you it was Him that put the seed of the thought in your mind. There are entrepreneurs in this place that God is raising up to be kings and priests until the coming of the Lord. And the greatest thing that you could do is be filled with the Holy Ghost. God bless Elon Musk for all that he's trying to do. Mark Z with what he's trying to do. But we are getting ready to see the Holy Spirit-filled people rise up in this last accelerated time. Rise up in this last accelerated time where there is a shift coming. Revival isn't coming. Revival's here. We are tapping into it right now. God is moving mightily across this land, but He is not just moving, He's inhabiting. He's dwelling in young people. He's dwelling in middle-aged folks. He's dwelling in senior saints. Oh, hallelujah. I see a move of God moving that is going to flip the script of what the enemy meant for harm. God said, I will turn it for good. I want somebody to know there's love inside of you. There's joy inside of you. There is peace inside of you. There is patience and meekness and goodness and temperance and gentleness. There is beauty inside of you. And that's why the enemy hates you, because you are filled with the Spirit of Almighty God. Oh, I feel like running in this place. You are filled with the Spirit of God. Debbie, you can come back to the piano if you will. Shut me down here. I heard the Lord say in my prayer time that I would not just decree a thing to you, but I would declare a thing to you. That you will not be filled with fear, and you will not be filled with failure, and you will not be filled with flesh. You and your house are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Tonight, you will not be filled with pain. Tonight, you will not be filled with failure or defeat or sin. You are God's possession. He inhabits you. He sits down in you. He dwells in you. And because He dwells in me, I am filled with dreams. Because He dwells in me, I'm filled with vision. Come on, leaders. Come on, pastors. Come on, ministers. Come on, congregation. Because He dwells in me, He has already given me a plan for financial success. Because He dwells in me, He has already given me moved me into a place of health. It is the will of God that I be in health. I decree and I declare over this house, hell can't touch you. When God fills it, hell can't touch it. God doesn't just visit you, he sits in you. He fills you. Somebody say, fill me up, Lord. Say, fill me up, Lord. As for me and my house, we are filled with the Spirit of the living God. Be filled with the breath of God. Let his exhale become your inhale. Come on, somebody, breathe in. Fill me up, God. Fill me with your Spirit. And when his exhale becomes your inhale, when his breath becomes your oxygen, when his Spirit becomes your life, you walk in freedom. And there is a sudden freedom coming to somebody in this place tonight. Anxiety will not hold you because you are filled with the Spirit of God. Hindrances can't stop you. You are filled with the Spirit of God. When you lay up on your pillow, and anxiety and fear, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost telling me this. And you say, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the night. You are filled with the Spirit of God. We've given the devil a lot of ammunition. He cannot read your mind. He is not omniscient. He is not all-knowing. He knows what he knows because we've given him plenty to work with. Because our mouth has said a lot of things. Are you with me? The day the doctor called me and said, Russell Hilton, you have cancer in your stomach. 6 years ago, I was sitting at the desk in our church office preparing for a Wednesday night service. The doctor called. I need to talk to you. I said, yes, sir. He said, you've got cancer, and I need you to come in. We're going to have to take care of this quickly. And I said, my God, you know what happened at that moment? Filled with the Spirit. Do you know what spirit tried to jump on me? The spirit of fear, the spirit of death. And immediately the devil said to me, you'll never see grandchildren. That's what he said. I was getting ready to preach. Oh, does the devil fight preachers? There's a devil behind every tree and under every rock. You just have to be wise enough to know how to walk, filled with the Spirit. I got into that service that night. I didn't tell anybody. I just preached. In fact, I preached my guts out. A few months later, they would take my guts out. And I said, God, I want you to heal me. But I preached like it was my last message, Bishop. I had the men and the women gather around me. They didn't know what they were praying for, but I wept. I just wept before the Lord. I needed people who were filled with the Spirit to lay hands on me. Don't come to my hospital room if you're a hit or miss Christian. Don't come. Don't get mad at me for saying that. Don't come visit me and try to raise me up when we don't see you except at every free chicken dinner. Come filled with the Spirit and lay hands on me in faith. Come on, church. I'm preaching to this sanctified bunch. The rest will show up tomorrow morning. Hear me. That night, I went home and I told my wife and my son-in-law and my daughter. I said, this is what the doctor just told me this evening before church. And I started quivering. And I started trembling, and I started feeling sorry for myself. Come on, somebody. Oh, I've laid hands on other people and seen them healed. Why would God? And I begin to have this whole mindset, even I just got done preaching. And all of a sudden, my wife rose up off the couch. She pointed her hand at me, and she said, you shall live and not die to proclaim the glorious works of the Lord. That's what she said. And I felt something. Sister Bianchi, I felt something sweep over me. In that very moment, the grip of fear lifted off of me. In that moment, the grip of death lifted off of me. And I got in agreement with someone who was filled with the Spirit. It matters who you have around you. Oh, let me preach it here. It matters who you have praying for you. That's why I don't just let anybody lay hands on me, because I don't know what spirit they're operating in. I need somebody that is filled with the Spirit. Oh, it's quiet in here. To lay hands on me in faith and believe God for me. And I'll tell you, a couple weeks went by. They put me on the schedule. They said, you're going to have surgery. I went to another doctor. I said, I don't want to hear that. The doctor said, what he said is true. You're going to have, you're going to live with an ileostomy the rest of your life. They're going to put you through chemo. They're going to put you through radiation. You're going to go through all of it. And you are not going to, you're going to have to probably find, what is it you do again? You're going to have to find you a less stressful job. How do you change from a calling to a job? Oh, it's quiet. I was trying to get my mind around it. God, I don't understand this. Lord, I don't want my healing to come this way. But I am submitted to your will. And I'm going to remain full of your Spirit. And I begin, somebody said, you need to take this CBD oil. Somebody said, you need to fill up on this. Somebody said, you need this. Oh, I'm just being real, real. You need this, you need that, and you need this vitamin, and all these great opinions, and I thought that was wonderful. But then the Holy Spirit drew me back again and again, that when he came into that upper room, he filled them, and they weren't standing, and the music wasn't going 90 miles an hour. They were all seated in one place when the Holy Ghost came and sat up on them. And as he sat up on them, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Can you imagine 10 days of waiting? Oh, if it'd be like most church people today, when they didn't sing my song, I'm out of here. When the altar service went too long, I'm out of here. When things didn't go my way, I'm out of here. Oh, but for 10 days, these that were hungry for a move of God, these that had been commissioned on Ascension Day, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. They sat there until the Holy Ghost came and enlightened upon them and sat upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember when I went into surgery, I raised my hands and said, God, I'm filled with your Spirit and I'm in your capable hands. I came out of that surgery 5 hours later. I didn't have an ileostomy. I didn't have to have it. God took it all out. He swapped it out of my life. All I'm trying to tell you is this. They said you'll not have to have chemo and you'll not have to have radiation either. You have been made whole. Oh, my God. There's something about 6 years later. In fact, I went yesterday, Pastor, to see the oncologist for my yearly checkup. He said, I don't even know why you come here anymore. God has done a work. God, I feel like preaching to somebody and tell you, be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't let fear take you. Don't let anxiety take you. Be filled. Stand to your feet if you will. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Raise your hands if you will. Be filled with the Spirit of God. I honor you, Jesus, and I praise you, Jesus. Let his exhale become your inhale. I want every leader, every pastor, every elder, every deacon, every guest preacher, every gray hair person, every person that has no hair, every person that's got a little left, everybody that's bought some, I don't care who you are, I want you to make your way to the front and line all the way across the front. I heard the Holy Ghost say that he will fill you tonight. Pastor called and said, this is a conference called Refuel. I said, Lord, ooh, I feel this. Lord, I feel this. Lord, I feel this. Lord, I feel this. Those of you that are standing here, This is your night of breakthrough. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to smile because you are not a depressed person. You shall live and not die to proclaim the glory of the Lord. Come on, smile at me. Why is it in Pentecost we thought the sadder we look, the more anointed we are? Just give yourself a big smile. And I want you to embrace the love of God. He loves you so much. He cares for you so much. And he wants to fill you with his presence and fill you with his spirit. You have no need that I lay hands upon you. The spirit of the Lord is already in you. You are already filled with his presence. Woo! I want you to begin to release his presence in your life right now. And I want you, as you begin to praise, come on, everybody lift your voice and don't be afraid of who's standing to your left or to your right. I want you to release his presence over your life. I want you to release his presence over your children and your grandchildren. Call the names of the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. Call their names out, them that have walked away from the Lord. Call their name out right now. Cousins, aunts, uncles, yay, in the name of Jesus. People who have backslidden, call their name out. Call their people who are cold, call their name out. Release their name into the atmosphere. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord, I declare and I decree the power of Almighty God. Release upon this people. Somebody begin to exercise your prayer language. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. He is your healer. He is your way maker. He is the divine touch in your life. Be filled with the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, this is the Spirit of God. This is what he does. He ignites, he refills, and he renews. And the time of your infilling was not the only infilling. Oh, but there are many infillings to come. Many refillings to come of God's presence. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, he's here. He's among us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we release your spirit over this house. We release your spirit into every marriage. We release your spirit into every home. We release your spirit into every teenager's bedroom. We release your spirit upon our children in the school system. We release your spirit upon our church. We release your spirit, God, to fill every area, to fill every part. Wherever there's been a vacancy, we ask you to occupy. We ask for you to move and then to infill. In Jesus' name, I'm not going home the way I came here. I'm not living the rest of my days unfulfilled. I'm walking in the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, I am filled with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, I shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In Jesus' name, I shall cast out devils. In Jesus' name, I shall speak with new tongues. In Jesus' name, I am filled with the presence of the Lord. I will pastor filled. I will pray filled with the Spirit. I will sing filled with the Spirit. I will prophesy with the Spirit. I will preach with the Spirit. I will lay hands on the sick with the Spirit. I am filled with the Holy Ghost. If fire is in me, prayer is in me, breath is in me, in the name of Jesus. I am the vessel of the Lord. I am the anointed of the Lord. I am filled with the presence of God. In me lies His Spirit and His power. In the name of Jesus, oh my sister, let the Holy Spirit refill you again and again and again. God, baptize her afresh and anew in thy Spirit. Let your anointing come and your glory sit upon her house. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Woo, he's all over you. Hallelujah. Now, God, just move in and sanctify every part of her life. Hallelujah. Fill every part. Hallelujah. Until you want for nothing else but him. Hallelujah. There he is. There's his joy. There's his peace. There's his overflow. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we declare the overflow of God. In the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, he said, come, those that are hungry, those that are thirsty, draw from him, and he would provide living water. He would provide refreshing for your soul. Father, I thank you for the infilling of your Spirit upon this, my dear sister, that the glory of heaven, oh, hallelujah, would fill her to the overflow and fill her up, God, to the running over of your Spirit, Jesus. Come on, somebody, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just glorify him. Not because I tell you to, but because there's an urgency within you to worship him in spirit and in truth. They sang a song that said there's power in the name of Jesus. I wonder while we're standing here if they could lift their voice and play and sing that song again, because there is absolute power in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Would you do me a favor tonight and partner up with someone? The Bible said where two or three are in agreement, when two or three are gathered together in his name, I'm there in the midst. Would you find you a partner and begin to pray? Because I believe there are some things that the two of you together can put to flight. One of us can put a thousand devils to flight. Two of us together can put 10,000 through the spirit of synergy. When God adds his synergistic anointing, and I declare that there is power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There he is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, lift your voice and declare that. There is power as you begin to praise God.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
To break every chain.
Every chain.
Break every chain. To break every chain. There is power
in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your voice and declare it and say,
there is power in the name of Jesus.
Prophesy that and declare it.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
To break every chain,
break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. And there's an army rising up. Break every chain, to break every chain.
every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. I hear those chains falling.
In the name of
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. It's falling off of me, yeah.
I hear those chains falling.
Let that be for you and your house and your family. I hear the chains falling.
Yeah. I hear those chains falling.
It's falling off of me, yeah.
I hear those chains falling. Chains falling.
Anxiety and depression.
I hear those chains falling.
Oh, yeah. I release freedom.
I hear those chains falling.
Oh, let it fall.
There is.
Come on, let that be your testimony. There is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Help me, Lord.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
That's what he does. He breaks every chain.
Break every chain, break every chain.
Come on, let that be your song. Say, he breaks every chain.
He breaks every chain, he breaks every chain.
He breaks every chain.
Breaks every chain, breaks every chain. He breaks every chain.
Thank you, Lord. He breaks every chain.
He breaks every chain. He breaks every chain.
Come on, somebody give the Lord praise and thanksgiving tonight. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, fill me up, fill me up. Hallelujah. I don't care how expensive gas prices are. God can fill your tank over and above. Now here's how you flow in the Holy Ghost. This is how I learned how to flow in the Spirit of the Lord. I grew up in classic Pentecost where we didn't always know how to appropriate the power of God. We just knew that he showed up once a month on a Sunday night and tore the house apart. But then we'd go back to work on Monday, still be depressed, still fighting our battles, robbing Peter to pay Paul. We didn't know how to walk in that power. We experienced his power. Come on, talk to me. But I didn't always know how to flow in the power of God. So when I learned how to flow in the Spirit of God, I learned that I didn't have to lose my shout on Sunday come Monday. That I could walk in the pneuma of God, the breath of God. That I'm not a dynamite Christian, I'm a dynamo Christian. Dynamite Christians have one big explosion and shout around the church and you don't see them for a month. Talk to me.
Yeah.
But dynamo Christians understand that when the Spirit of God moves in you, it has power to reproduce itself over and over and over again, so that I can remain filled with the Spirit of God. That's why we are taught that when you lay hands on the sick to see them recover, by the time you lay hands on another, the Holy Spirit will have reproduced himself yet again. Because you learn how to flow in the dynamo. So I'm learning, and it took me a minute to learn that, where I could walk in the Spirit of God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and come back still filled with the Spirit. Jesus, when the Spirit of God rested upon him in the Jordan River, and John baptized him, and God spoke out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the Holy Ghost appeared in the form of a dove and rested upon him. Immediately, the Bible said he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He didn't get booked on TBN. He didn't start a not-for-profit or 501c3. He didn't have free gift offers from Jerusalem. No Jordan water in no bottles. He went in to be tried. And the Bible said he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. 40 is significant. 40 days and nights. He left full of the Holy Ghost. When he came out, he was full of the Holy Ghost. This shows me that even if you have to go through what I went through, what you've went through, what others have went through, I can still come out full because I am filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I am filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? Do you believe it? Say, I'm filled. I'm overflowing with the Spirit of God. Help me receive your pastors tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. This is only night one. Hallelujah. We have tomorrow morning, come back at 10 o'clock. It's going to be an amazing time. We're going to be serving lunch after the first session, and then the second session will start at 2 o'clock. If you don't know, I just didn't want to interrupt the service, but if you don't know, we've had Bishop Russell Hilton with us. Why don't you give him a hand as he has ministered the word. He's a... Amen. Thank you, Bishop. He's a mighty man of God. We so appreciate him. He's one of my spiritual fathers. We are closely connected, and it never fails because of that connection we have in the Spirit. Whenever he comes, he brings a word, and it's exactly what I was thinking. You know, it's like what I had in my spirit. Like, this is what I'm looking for, God. And he just sets it up. And when pastor comes and preaches, it's like it just lines up right with where I was in the spirit. And so thank you, pastor, so much for doing that. I was reminded, I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to give you some scripture references. Acts 2, they were filled, right? But then Acts 4, they were filled again. We don't ever stop getting filled.
Yeah. Amen.
So we're going to come back tomorrow and be filled.
Yeah.
Amen. We're gonna move forward in what God has for us. Also want you to know that there is a product table back there that Bishop has brought with him. Pastor Cross is back there manning it. I want you to give Pastor Cross a hand for coming. He's a student pastor there, youth pastor at BFWC. And Brother Ben, their media guy, has come with them too. Why don't you give Brother Ben a hand? Thank you guys for being here. These are not only just men of God from the church, but they're friends, they're brothers in the faith. And so thank you guys for just being a part of this. But make sure you stop back there. There's a couple books that pastor has written. I have read both of them completely, not just little pieces here and there, but I have read all of those books, and they have spoken deeply to me. I almost said something bad there. I'm not afraid to recognize it when I mess up. All right. I'm still talking in tongues. That's what's, you know, I'm just still talking in tongues. All right. But make sure you stop at that table. Look through that. I know that the leadership book will bless your heart. It's just such a foundational truth of leadership and just great principles there. And then the Fivefold Fatherhood book is an amazing look at how God wants to build the family of God and a mentorship program that he has set forth in his word. And so make sure that you stop by and check those out. And if you feel led to purchase one of them. So my lovely wife is going to dismiss us in prayer.
I wanted to share real quick that I just had this imagery as we were talking about the Holy Spirit. Of it being, and I know I don't like, and I'm sure a lot of you don't like how kids nowadays, everybody gets a trophy, right? If you just play, you get a trophy. Whether you win or not, you get a trophy. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what it's like. If you participate, you are able to receive the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to be the best. It doesn't matter how much you failed before. If you choose to participate in the kingdom of God, you get the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to encourage you today that maybe you don't know much about the Holy Spirit. Keep seeking because it's for you. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter who your family is. It doesn't matter what your background has been. And it's the best friend you could ever have, and he can give you the guidance for your life. So if you feel like your life is out of control, and I'm speaking to somebody, this is what you're looking for. Yeah. So if you need to come and see me after service, come and see me, and we're going to talk. Yeah. Because the Holy Spirit is for you. Jesus has a plan for your life. Yeah. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you did not leave us comfortless. That God, you gave us a comforter to walk through this life. And as dark as life can be sometimes, God, it does not have to overwhelm us because your Holy Spirit is there to guide us and to lead us and to take us into all truth. And so, Father God, we just release your Holy Spirit, not just upon a service, but God, upon every moment of our life. Upon every word that we speak, every thought that we think, dear God, every place that we go, we are following your leading and your guidance because we are your children. And so, God, I pray that tonight we go and we rest and we sleep peacefully. And, Lord, that you bring us back at the appointed time. And, God, every conversation we have, it is through the filling of your Holy Spirit that we do not go empty. But, God, we have words of life and words of truth to share with people, God. I rebuke every lie of the enemy that would say that we're not good enough because your Holy Spirit has made us good enough. We receive it and we believe it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.